Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast, I guess. This episode, we're going to be talking about Hellblade, Star Wars Empire at War, and Deep Rock Galactic Survivor. But first, my name is Christian.
I'm Bobby.
And I'm celebrating the 30th anniversary of Primal Rage. I have a little dinosaur right next to me. I just read that highlight. And if you don't know what it is, yeah. After Street Fighter had a gigantic Street Fighter 2, just huge arcade flooding tournament, there were so many knockoffs. And one of them was about dinosaurs. And it was pretty awesome. Sometimes the mechanics can be, it doesn't matter how good the game is when your concept is just so good. It was like giant monkeys and dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. And little people in the background that would occasionally get stomped on and killed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, cavemen would be watching, but then they'd be killed. So good.
Almost as good as our plug from Bobby.
Oh, boy. I'm plugging this week. I'm plugging our YouTube channel. Check us out on YouTube if you want to see what we look like, see us doing the podcast. Really just take it all in visually. Check us out on YouTube. You can get there from our website, dlgaming.net. I noticed that our Divinity Original Sin 2 clip has like 16,000 views. Yes. I mean, yeah, I don't know if that's getting us any subs or any likes, but glad to see people are connecting with the cheese vendor.
It's about the art we put out, you know, Bobby. It's not about the likes or the subscribers. Yeah. As long as people have a good time, and a lot of people, and Emilio will know this, have described this podcast as a visual experience. Right? Am I right there?
Yeah,
there's some visual jokes.
Yeah, and you can see how absolutely jacked Christian is. Like when he was a scrawny kid when we start this, but he's been pumping iron and he's just all shoulder. His back looks like a barrel of snakes. Like yes. He's just yoked
beyond control. I had the Karate Kid glow up. I've been trained. I've been studying the physical form of my body. Okay, on this podcast, we ping things. We're just noting something interesting. And there was a Twitter post that made me stop in my tracks and think, oh shit, is this true? And it's, are we doomed for the backlogageddon? Are we coming up to a time in the world where there is just a backlog of so many good games that there's no reason to ever buy a new game, really? You can occupy your time with all the games that humanity has produced and never buy a new game. And I think the term backlogageddon describes that.
Yeah, it's almost like the singularity of content, right? Like, we're getting to a point where, yeah, I see what you're saying. It doesn't matter. New and shiny will always outdo old and quality.
Yes, people will always play Call of Duty 37, which is a pretty, you know, depressing fact about humanity, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's funny is I met all new people this last weekend because whatever, it doesn't matter. I was at a party and they're trying to introduce me to new people. And, you know, what do? You try to find common ground and you move on from there. So they're like, oh, this guy is a huge gamer. You should talk to this guy. And so we go over to him and he's played nothing but Call of Duty for 15 years. That's the one game. The one game. And like, whatever.
Like, you're like, dude, you've played the one game I haven't played.
yeah. And what I didn't really realize is that every other year it's made by a different developer. So it kind of changes every year. Yeah, it's kind of like the Olympics in that way, but that's 4 years. But yeah, I didn't know that, but that was interesting. And that's what I learned.
That's a cool fact. Yep. We can't even stomach the Olympics every year, but we stomach a Call of Duty made by a different developer every other year. There's a site. It's called Backlogged, and I've always kind of wanted a Letterboxd for video games. I mean, for a lot of people, that just is their Steam library. Everything is there. But if you're playing console games or, you know, I don't know, games elsewhere, maybe you have a Game Boy in your closet, you're really dying to play a game on it. This has all games from all mediums, platforms, whatever, what have you, and you can kind of organize the games you have beat and you can rate them. So if we look at our good friend Eric L'Esperance here, which I accidentally linked to, is a colleague of mine, we can see that he ranked Destiny 2 2.9 out of 5 stars, you know? A respectable rating for Destiny 2. So you too can rate your video games and see friends on. I don't know if this will save us from the backlog again, but maybe it'll let us track all our backlog games and convince us to finish them. Maybe.
Dude, Eric is going to see that he had a massive jump and he had a DL gaming bump. He doesn't know that's what it was. So he's like, hey wifey, I'm going to have to quit my job. We're going to be backlogged famous.
We're going to be backlogged influencers. Yeah. 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 What are you picking this week, Bobby?
A little bit of news this week. News of news, an announcement of an announcement. So Doom the Dark Ages is going to be announced in June at the Xbox Showcase, or at least that's what the people are saying. No details known about this. A lot of people are assuming this is going to be a somewhat medieval-themed Doom game. This is going to be the next Doom game in the new franchise when they rebooted it back in 2016. Then they had Doom 2 and I think some DLC with that. So really fast-paced combat, finishing moves, slaying demons, all that fun stuff. But I don't know, maybe some melee medieval action this time around. We'll see in June.
I need you to be more excited about this, dude. I think this is I think this is the best move they could have possibly made. Like, there's no other direction to go than
Doom
this.
Van Helsing. That's it? That's the best?
Oh, dude. I think it's so good. It's so good because he's basically Death Dealer. If you don't know who Death Dealer is, look up that art. That's fucking awesome. But yeah, dude. Like, I think they allude to his, what do you call it? Like a group of knights, whatever. The coven or whatever you want to call it has been going on for many millennia. So yeah, we should see different period pieces on that. That'd be sweet. And what's more gory than fantasy?
Yeah, so I don't know. Neither of us finished the second Doom game, right?
Like, no.
It was quite a bit longer than the first one. It was really good, but then we kind of lost momentum and it was hard to get back into. I don't know if I'm ready for a third. Like, I might check it out. Back to the backlog, man. Like, I'm just not, I don't know why I do this, but I have a problem playing the third installment of a series if I haven't finished the second one.
Just like a psychological barrier.
Yeah. Even though it just doesn't, and those games are not known for their story either. The first one famously like eschewed it in the very like opening sequence. Like, it was great how they did it too, because somebody pops up on a screen, they start spitting the usual video game dialogue, and then the Doom Slayer just, I don't know, like shoots the screen or smacks it or something out of the way. And then you just go off and kill monsters. It was perfect. The second one, I think they started getting more into the backstory and revealed him to be like maybe some sort of archangel or something like that. But yeah, I don't know if I'm ready for a third one, but I'm open to the idea.
I will agree that I didn't need to know what or who or why he is. I kind of like the mystery more, honestly. As soon as you give somebody hard lines exactly of what he is, then you can start poking holes in it. But as long as it's just a mystery zombie thing, it's awesome.
I played Doom 2. Doom released 2 months after I was brought into this world. A glorious reveal of one of nature's brightest and best, me, coming to this earth. And then Doom came after. So we really had a 1-2 whammy there with like really good stuff. and when I played it, I thought the whole storyline was that demons come from... is it Phobos? Like a moon of Jupiter? Moon,
yeah, one of the moons in... Well, yeah. It took place on a Mars space station, but yeah, Phobos was a moon from...
Oh, a moon planet of Mars. Anyways, yeah. Not on this planet. And now the Dark Ages are... I don't know. I think we're retroconning. But I don't know. I'm not up to date on Doom. That's the last Doom I played, 1993 Doom. Mm.
Yeah, they did want to put a lot of story into those old Doom games. So Tom Hall from id Software, who'd done a lot with those games, Commander Keen and all that, like he had all these ideas and artwork for like this whole story behind the Doom character. But they were like, nope, we're just going to make it a bunch of bullets and fun. That's it.
There's no room for text, dude, when we have to do gallons of blood. I'd rather have a 768th gallon of blood than fucking three lines of text.
Get the text out of my Doom game.
Get it out of here, man. All right. And so, my greatest achievement in life will die with me, I just found out. So my greatest achievement in life, if you didn't know, is my Steam library. I'm kind of joking because it's not that good. But anyway, apparently, according to Valve, you cannot leave it in a will. You cannot bequeath it. So that sucks. And then so basically, if you don't leave somebody your password, that's it.
So Valve is not authentication.
Yeah, Valve is not going to help you out there. And if you give your password to somebody else, that is a strict, violation of the EULA, which we all read several times over and know it heart for heart, I'm sure.
I have read it, yes.
Yes. And so I would like to think, if I do give my daughters my login and password, first of all, they're not going to care. It's like giving them a bowling ball. They're just like, well, what would I do with this? But if I would, I don't think in 30 years Valve is going to come after them. Like, you're not the original. You're not. There's no way you're a 120-year-old Emilio. There's no way.
They're still purchasing games.
Yeah.
At the 100-year mark, you have to like send in some verification. Like,
you're right.
They ask
you
to send in a video. They're like, can you record it?
Yeah. So kind of a bummer, but also easy workaround. As long as you find somebody who's interested in it, you just pass your password over to them.
Yeah. Well, now that they have that new family share thing that's more on households, maybe it can be forever. Your games, your purchased games can live on, at least in your family sharing environment or whatever they call it.
Dude, you're my forever, dude.
Thanks. That's why we have each other's Steam libraries. I have 12,000 games and you have 100 city builders.
It's one of the worst trades in
trade deal.
In marketing. I mean, sorry, in stock history.
Yeah. Cool. Well, moving on to highlights. So these are games that we have been playing, and me and Bobby have been playing Star Wars games all month. Bobby, I just have to ask you at the top, are you tired of this?
Star Wars games? No, I'm actually having a good time with these.
Okay, cool. Sweet. Because we played Star Wars Empire at War, and I wanted to get your off-the-dome thoughts, because me and you played, and I'm not really sure if you had fun. I wrote here, I'm 0% sure you had fun.
So I realized hours into this that this game is not Star Wars Battlegrounds. I thought that's what we were playing, but I guess I got the names mixed up. I've never played Star Wars Empire at War. I wasn't even familiar with this as a concept or as a game. And it really, I'm surprised that I didn't know this game, because it reminds me a lot of Rebellion in some ways. So Rebellion is just a big grand strategy game, and this actually does the whole grand strategy space thing, maybe to a little lesser degree, but it also has more intricate space combat and ground combat. Rebellion doesn't have any ground combat, just a little bit of space combat. But I don't know, I liked it. So when we started playing it, we started with mods, and that's actually a really bad way to introduce somebody to any game is, hey, download this mod.
I realized my mistake when we were in the middle of playing it, but it was too late to go back.
Yeah, and that's all right. But the mods, the mods assume you've been playing so much of the game that you need something new from it. So they've changed it in a bunch of different ways. They assume that you have all this knowledge already of the game, and that they don't bother tutorializing you at all. So after we had played some multiplayer, I went back and started with the tutorial and started playing the single player campaign and got a little bit better of an understanding with it, and started to enjoy it a lot more, started to really recognize the qualities of the game. One thing I will say, though, and I feel like I've said this before, it is hard to make a good campaign in a 4X or RTS game, because you essentially have the same win condition in every game, it's always the same. You just want to build a bunch of units, expand, take over bases, destroy the enemy. And they try to change it a little bit. They try to give you like a point A to point B. Even in Warcraft 3, if you go back and play that campaign, you can see them really struggling to like come up with different or some variety in the mission types. But essentially, it all kind of ends up being the same thing. So I think they've got a little bit of a challenge there. And just a small complaint too, you can play as the Rebellion or the Empire. Not a lot of other choices other than that, except with mods, I believe, or maybe in Forces of Corruption, the expansion. I don't know if they added any, but it seems like,
yeah, they added the Smugglers Alliance, in the expansion to the base game, which comes with a gold pack on Steam. And with that introduced mechanics where, that faction survives on corrupting existing Imperial or Rebellion planets and siphons credits depending how corrupted that planet is, and eventually takes over the planet if the corruption is kind of left unchecked. So they operate, they still operate on the map, but kind of on a base level. You can still destroy their bases, but they have hidden bases on all your bases, and they might, that might become their next actual base. So it's this like whack-a-mole where you're trying to always keep them down. But I found it satisfying when it came out. I was like, ah, cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, they've got a lot of interesting things about the game. It's very asymmetrical. I haven't checked out the Smugglers Alliance, but even the Empire and the Rebellion, they operate a little differently in some ways. Like the Rebellion has to basically steal tech upgrades from the Empire, which I thought was kind of cool. You know, I'm used to these types of games being pretty symmetrical, but I thought that was cool. And also targeting different parts of the ship. And then later I realized, oh, you got to get your fighters to target those. And there's just lots of things to figure out in this game, which can be a little overwhelming at first, but there are some cool things about the
overwhelmingly
combat.
Positive.
Yeah, on Steam with 97%.
30,000, dude.
Yeah, this game is beloved by tons of people, and it's partly because Petroglyph has just supported the game pretty much forever. In 2023, which was their latest update, they released a maintenance patch update. That's what they title it, something super low-key. Except they turned the 32-bit launcher into 64-bit, which fixed all these memory loss issues with the game. And the modding teams were like, this is awesome, you know? Now we can play multiplayer on these awesome mods that we made because it has an updated client. And that's a 17-year-old game that they just decided to do that for, you know? And that's, I think, awesome. It's because people are still kind of buying it because of this huge modding community. Like, this is the only way to experience a grand strategy Star Wars game in the Republic era. And the only other way is Star Wars Rebellion, which is even older if you want, you know, the Empire versus Rebel era.
So you guys modded outside of Steam? Is that right?
No, or, in Steam.
Oh, it's got Steam Workshop.
It has Steam Workshop support. Yeah. It's also the only way to play Stargate. There's no Stargate games. This is the one, and it's a mod on Star Wars Empire at War. Yeah, I kind of feel bad for Bobby because I was like, I maybe go back to this game every couple years and check out the mods, and I always have like a pretty good time. And I was like, Bobby, we're going to have a good, I like kind of hyped it up. And then, you know, I can tell that it's just, even I am overwhelmed coming back to this mod. I'm like, oh, they added all this, and there's these ships I don't recognize. What the hell is a VB wing? I don't know.
Oh my God. There's a Rancor on the battlefield, guys.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, the graphics are not that bad, dude.
No, they're not terrible. I mean, the game's almost 20 years old, but yeah. When I was playing the tutorial, I saw a character. It was an icon of a character that looked just like Kyle Katarn from the Jedi Knight series. And it was in the non-interactive part of the tutorial where they're basically just showing you around the map and you can't click on anything, I think. So right. I wasn't able to hover over and see if it was actually him. But is Kyle Katarn in this game?
Yes, Kyle Katarn is in this game.
Wow. And
a slate of other kind of legends, heroes from the non-canon universe are also in this game. So, I mean, because it happened before the Disney acquisition and they were trying to add these flavor characters, and you take them from the books, obviously, or the comics or wherever. Yeah. And so the two mods, if you're going to play this game, you're listening and you're like, yeah, Grand Strategy Star Wars, that sounds awesome. Star Wars Republic at War is by a guy named Corey Losses. And they've done so much work for the graphical fidelity of the game. You know, like the Republic Venator class Star Cruisers look so realistic, and they have that like artillery fire from the side of the ship, and they line up with the Confederacy ships and they blast each other to bits, and it's just so fun to watch. And then the one that the mod that me and Bobby started on, which is Awakening of the Rebellion, kind of goes the more Star Wars Rebellion route, where you have these infiltrator characters and the campaign is more mission led. So it'll be like Mon Mothma wants you to steal this piece of technology for the rebellion, and then you have to do that. And then each of the planets also has a support for you and the Empire, which is the way you turn planets other than combat. So, yeah, I mean, Star Wars Empire at War, baby. That's our last Star Wars game for the month of May. And what was your favorite Star Wars? Sure.
Are there outside of Steam complete overhauls of this? Because that's the one problem with Steam Workshop. It's usually cutesy mods, or like there's not complete, you know, there's things that add to the game, change the game a little bit, but it's not a complete rework or a complete a graphical update because it's not going to let you do that.
Totally.
Yeah. So and that, is that, there?
You're right. You're right in a lot of cases, but maybe because this game is older, it doesn't. These are complete overhaul mods. Like the Stargate mod changes everything to Stargate, and it's completely different mechanics. There's a Star Trek mod does the same thing. Apparently, it's also an overhaul. Really good.
It's not just a new faction.
I would call every of the top mods complete overhauls for sure. Damn. Yeah, especially when we get into other universes.
And check this out, guys. So we said 97% for 30,000, but right before the most recent reviews, 99% positive. How's it getting better?
It's getting better with time. Star Wars Rebellion, like your finest wines, allegedly. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, but that was an old game. Oh, sorry, Bobby, I wanted to ask you, out of the Star Wars games we played, what was your favorite?
Maybe a tie between Republic Commando and Obi-Wan. So I always wanted to play Obi-Wan, never did because it was an Xbox game and didn't want to go through the trouble of getting it to run on a PC. Glad I finally did and had a really good time with that. It was a new experience. Republic Commando, I've played before. I already knew what it was, but coming back to it was really nice this time. So kind of a tie between the two.
Nice. I really liked Republic Commando, but I think I would go with Obi-Wan too. That game still holds up. There's a top Steam review on Republic Commando that says this game is not good, but the ambience is unmatched for Star Wars games. And I was like, I kind of get that. I see that.
That's a good way of putting it.
Okay, enough of these old Star Wars games. Emilio, you played something new?
I played the new hot shit. I think that's the biggest release this week is Senua's Saga Hellblade 2. So we have these bullet points that are supposed to like remind us what to talk about. Sometimes I write exactly what I'm going to read, but I mean, sometimes I read exactly what I wrote, but this time I'm going to read it and then maybe it'll give you a little more insight into what I was thinking about it. So the first one is too immersive. And what I mean by that is, you're putting yourself in the head of somebody who has schizophrenia or multiple personality disorder. And so there's voices speaking to her constantly as you're playing. I call them the negative Nancys. Because a lot of the times, they are not on your side. If you haven't seen Senua's Saga or Hellblade 1, I can't remember the second part of that. What the first one was called. But it's a third-person puzzle adventure game. But the whole time, you have these voices in your head talking to you And some of them are cheering you on, and some of them are making you doubt what you're doing. And they did a very good job in the first game. I was a huge fan of the first one. I nominated it for Game of the Year. But the second, I think they're doing a better job this time. But I will say that there's been, I think she's doing, you know, you beat the first game, you would imagine you're doing a little better in life, and she is. They're a little more positive than they were before. They're not so shitty as they were in the first game. So I think everybody's doing better. There's a little more confidence going there. And as you progress through the game, I'm probably like 6 or 7 hours in. You could see the progress even in the game where she's getting along with the negative Nancy's a little better. And also there's the voice of your father, or the overbearing father, that you can overcome if you do certain things and get rid of him. So that's, you feel like you've accomplished something there. So I'm going to move on to the next thing about this game. The graphics are, I mean, maybe there's one game. I always go to Star Wars. What is the
Battlefront 2?
Battlefront 2, yeah.
Ah, Jinx. That you owe me a blaster.
That is so hard to overcome that game. That game, at certain times, you're just like, but then this game also flirts with photorealism constantly. And it is just gorgeous. But I was thinking, like, I was walking through this area, and, you know, I was thinking, when somebody says like torn asunder or scorched earth, like it's easy to write because other people have written it and you know what it is, or you could put it on screen and that's a lot harder to do, but you'd be like, oh wow, that looks really fucked up. But the next level to that is making it visual and then also immersing somebody into it. So not only am I walking through this like place that's been destroyed, but I'm in it and I'm feeling it and I'm looking around and I'm making it worse by looking around, but you can't, it's almost like a train wreck. You can't not look. And yeah, and that's another thing about the two immersive. It's like, at certain points I felt like I was torturing myself. That's how bad, between the voices in your head, the gruesome things that are on the screen, and the combination of the two, one feeding off the other, and hearing the voices of the dead that you let down. Ugh, it is. It's heavy. It's super heavy. I will say, some people won't like this, that it's, there's parts. I just finished a part that was like an hour or 2 hours long that was basically a walking simulator, but I also put vision quest/geography lesson. Because you're going through these areas in Iceland, and I was going through this area and I was like, you know what? This clearly looks like this was a reef at some point, a reef. So I go to Google and I was like, oh, was Iceland underwater at some point? And they're like, yeah, it was. And I was like, that. So they did such a good job with the rocks to make it look like you can see that this part was clearly underwater. I thought that was very cool. Vision quest, because you're looking for faces in the rocks. You don't have to, but it's just extra credit, I guess. If you see a face in the rock, you can focus on it. And then one of the coolest effects in the game is that the face becomes a pathway. And it's one of those tricky things where you kind of have to cross your eyes, but you see the pathway emerge. It's incredible. I don't know how to explain it to you guys.
And then can you walk through it after?
Yeah, you can walk through the face. As weird as that sounds.
I think you just sold me on this game, dude.
Yeah.
that seems...
It's so weird, man. It's like one of those foreground, background puzzles, right? But it's already completed for you. You find the completed puzzle, and then you focus on it, and then it becomes separated, and then you walk through it. So good. Let's see what else. Their combat has improved quite a bit. It really feels intimate. It's like you and the other participant are right at each other's tip of your or swords, any step back or step forward, I mean, you feel like you're chest to chest with these people and or monsters or whatever it is. And it is fucking awesome, especially when it's at night and like you don't see where the next one's coming from. It feels like a scene from Braveheart where you just go from one crazy interaction to another and it's tunnel vision, right? Because you there is a battle going on around you in like the first, you'll know what I'm talking about when you play it. But you have to focus. You have to have laser focus on just that 1%. And that's how it goes throughout the whole game. But in that first big battle, it really shines where I'm just focusing. It doesn't matter what's going on around. I have to focus on this one thing. Otherwise, I'm going to get killed. And the sound, the voices, I wouldn't call it music, but it's like atmospheric sounds that happen to make you either more scared or feel the feelings that the game is trying to pass on. It's all fucking incredible. It's I would say it's not for everybody. Like I said, I just played like a 2-hour part with almost no combat. There might have been 5 minutes of combat in 2 hours, but it looks and sounds so good that the story is being told by the immersion rather than diction. So anyway, huge fan. I'm about halfway through it, I think, and definitely going to continue playing it.
I guess I'm going to add this one to the backlog again. And another game. Well, that sounds awesome.
It's free on Game Pass. That's another thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good perk.
Oh, and also I played on Samsung Game Zone or whatever on my TV, which is streaming from Game Pass onto my TV. And no fault to them. I know they're just trying to get it to work. So it's at 1080p and it's also in the lowest graphic setting. So I want to say it was rough. Like the graphics were still better than most games.
But on your PC, they'd probably
be. Yeah, I was like, I can't play this here. I was like,
I have to go to my cave.
Yeah. I spent all this money for a reason. Graphics. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that sounds awesome.
A triumph. It's incredible.
Hellblade 2, Bobby. A triumph.
I have not played the first one. We're about halfway through the year. Is this? Are we starting to think game of the year here? Is it too soon to start talking about that?
I don't think so.
It's in the running for me, if not the front runner. Yeah.
All right.
It's better than the first one. I said the first one was for game of the year.
Well, our game of the year is games we've played, and this would have to be Spore. Just remember, guys. Remember when
That's some tough competition.
Bobby, you
speaking of Spore, dude, right when you're saying that, I was looking at this.
What is that?
Doesn't it look like a Spore? Like the first?
No. It does look like the first Spore. Tune into our YouTube
channel and see.
Yeah, we're not going to describe it. We're not going to say.
It was my dick. I pulled out my dick. All right. So
that's the joke. Yeah.
All right. So this week I jumped back into Deep Rock Galactic Survivor. I noticed that they had a patch and the patch was listing some pretty cool things. So I thought it's been a while. Let's go back and see what's new in the game. And there's a whole lot. It's just a ton of content. Basically, there's new enemies, particularly the shellbacks, which are those guys that roll around in bumpy places. Some new weapons, I believe. Also, a new biome was added. But most importantly, there's new bosses. And this really changes it up. Like these new, there used to be just that one boss, you fight him over and over again, got very repetitive. Now there's several types of bosses that mimic what's in Deep Rock Galactic, the original game. But I'm not going to spend too long talking about it. You guys know what this game is. I see all my friends on Steam playing it all the time. But if you haven't played in a while, it is worth going back and checking it out. This game is, I think it was the 0.2 patch, they called it. So I don't know how exactly they work the numbering systems, but 0.2 sounds like they're pretty early in the development and not too close to a 1.0 release. So it seems like they've got a lot more stuff they still want to do, but It's I really enjoyed the new stuff they had in the in this patch. So if you haven't played Deep Rock Galactic Survivor yet, definitely check it out. If you have and you haven't played in a while, revisit it.
For the casual listener, don't get it mixed up with Deep Rock Galactic. That's the multiplayer first person one.
This is going to get very confusing. We've got Deep Rock Galactic, which is the co-op mining game. We've got Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, which is the Vampire Survivors like. And pretty soon we're going to have Deep Rock Galactic Rogue. Is that it? Rogue? Rogue's in the name, which is going to be the what is it? What's that game mode where you die and you come back?
Oh, farming sim. Roguelike.
A roguelike, yeah. Well, it's right there, rogue, yeah. So it's going to be the Deep Rock Galactic co-op roguelike, which I'm really looking forward to.
We need the Deep Rock Galactic 4X, where I get all these dwarven mining facilities across universe, and I'm exporting fucking Morkite out of these. okay, that was our highlights section, and it was brought to you by ScramTX, who's been playing Animal Well, and he says in our Discord, I've been playing Animal Well. Wow, go figure. And the base play and puzzles are great, but the extra content collectibles for the true ending is absolutely ridiculously hard. There is no way to do it for at least one of them without reaching out to the community, guides, and many of the others are so obscure. I am glad that I did look them up rather than spending more time on them. Still, though, I absolutely love this game. Folks, there's too much Easter eggs in Animal Well. People are having too much of a great time playing it. I think in our Discord, a couple of other people replied to him and said, yeah, we've been enjoying it too. So you can come to our Discord and you can tell us what you've been playing. And I hope that you do.
And then you can fill in this slot.
You can fill in this slot. We can love you too. On the radar, games that have caught our attention, but that we have not played. And I think, you know, there must be a solar eclipse or some other celestial event because Bobby is talking about Warhammer 40K when Nick isn't on the podcast. Crazy. So that's pretty cool.
It's because he liked this one, right, Bobby?
Yeah, this was actually, I don't play a lot of Warhammer games and I like very few of them. Maybe just Warhammer 40K Mechanicus was the only one that I really did like. Nick bought that game for me and I played it start to finish, which doesn't happen too often. And now there's a sequel coming out. A few notes on the sequel. They got a Steam page up, so you can check it out. It's just called Warhammer 40K Mechanicus 2. This time around, you can play as the Necrons. Before, you only played as the Mechanicus. I don't know what these are. I guess they're factions or something like that. Nick's not here to explain the lore, but you can
what
play as the
What kind of game is it, Bobby?
God, I'm having such a difficult time describing games today. It is a tactical RPG or tactical turn-based strategy game.
Yeah. XCOM-ish, right?
Yeah. So they wanted to stay away from being compared to XCOM. So they did something interesting in the first Mechanicus where you couldn't take cover, but the enemies would only attack the nearest unit. So it was kind of a trade-off. They're changing that in the second game. You can take cover behind terrain now. There's also going to be
this
a wide...
is exactly like XCOM. Jesus, what an XCOM clone. God.
But with Warhammer. So you know people are going to buy it up. They're going to have a wider selection of troops for both of the factions. And probably most important of all, they are bringing back the same composer as the first game. He is, what's his name? Guillaume David. So the one thing that I really took away from the first game, I really liked just the gameplay and the mechanics and everything, but the soundtrack was pretty incredible. It was like this techno-Gregorian chant.
Oh my God.
Industrial
music. I love
music.
That shit, dude. I love
it
that
was,
shit.
It's so good.
Gets my testosterone going.
Yeah. Bobby, was it anything like this? Was it anything like Star Wars Republic Commando?
It was a little like that, yeah.
Okay.
It's very chanty.
And, but the and soundtrack, this game, they're not mechanics, dude. They're Mechanicus. It was an easy transition, I'm just saying.
Yeah, so they're bringing back the same guy. We can expect kind of the same thing for the soundtrack, which is great. I mean, it was really fantastic. Rarely do I play a game and the music stands out, you know? There's very few Mechanicuses and Republic Commandos out there where the soundtrack really just really sticks out. But yeah, looking forward to this. I, as much as I love the first one, I am probably going to play this one. I mean, I really got into the first one, so I don't know. I think I'll overcome my dislike of Warhammer to play this one.
That's exciting. Wow, we're all overcoming something. Or none of us ever... Never mind, I don't know why I said that. I'm glad you're overcoming something. That's great.
Yep.
I'm overcoming something, which I guess is Star Wars games this month. What do I got on the backlog? We got Homeworld 3, and then we got this game, Songs of Conquest. So a long time ago in a podcast far, far away, I brought up Songs of Conquest because...
And still you Star Wars it, dude.
True. I can't get it out of my head. This is what happens when you read Star Wars novels in formative teenage years. I have all this... It's what am I to do? I'm this way. The cake is baked. There's nothing else. So Songs of Conquest is a turn-based strategy adventure with tactical combat and kingdom management. That's what it says on the Steam page. And... That sentence is enough to hook me. Whatever game, whatever setting, doesn't matter. If that sentence is on the Steam page, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to play that game. That sounds awesome. It has graphics and gameplay inspired by those old Heroes of Might and Magic games. Now, they were before my time. I've never went into them, but I'm down with how the graphics look. You know, I think it's cool, this kind of, now I'm going to struggle to describe it. Pixely, very artistic, 2.5D hexagonal environment. Something. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, but I'm looking at pictures.
Yeah. Come to our YouTube to, man, it's the plug that keeps on giving, right? And what I think is cool about Songs of Conquest and I believe Deep Rock Galactic Survivor is that it's both Coffee Stain Publishing. Published by Coffee Stain Publishing. And they have these long early access periods, I think because their first game, or one of their first games was Deep Rock Galactic, where they really leaned into this awesome early access development cycle where they took a long time with feedback from the community to make an awesome game. And when it launches in 1.0, I mean, Deep Rock Galactic blew everyone out of the water, right? It's like maybe one of the best co-op games ever made. And I think Songs of Conquest, by the reviews that I've seen for its 1.0 release, which is now here, kind of has followed the same formula. Lots of feedback from the community, and now it's this awesome game. And it didn't start off like that. When this game first came out in early access, I think the reviews were somewhere around 70%, if I remember correct. Now they're around 87%, which is a pretty hard turnaround to do. 10% is a lot on Steam.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very excited to go into Songs of Conquest. And that'll probably be what I'll be playing this week, if everything goes according to plan and I don't get sucked into another Star Wars game.
Can I tell you what my booze brain was thinking the whole time you were talking about this?
Yes.
I saw the frog in the title screen, right? Mm-hmm. Or frog person. I was like, oh, he looks like a Battletoad. I was like, I like Battletoads. While you're talking about like all these other things.
That's great.
I was like, oh no, but this game has an economy and the Battletoads don't hand an economy of punches.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad your thoughts are occupied. Whatever common ground we can get to play this game together, I will embrace it wholeheartedly. Cool. Guys, I think it's time. You're going to eat some food, maybe? Is that on the radar this week?
We should have talked about it. Is that after listener questions? So...
Okay, we're gonna play Guess That Sound.
There's so many things, dude. There's like 10 things.
Let's go. Where did this food come from and what's going on?
So we got another package in the mail with a bunch of goodies in it. This time coming from Warconius from Canada. So he included all sorts of Canadian things. Apparently we have a different definition of Smarties than Canada. And Smarties here in America are chalky white pieces of candy. But in Canada, they're like
rockets,
M&Ms. But there was all sorts of things. First of all, you probably heard me cracking into this earlier in the show. I opened a intergalactic root beer, which I've been drinking. I like root. I don't like soda, but if I'm going to have one, it's going to be a root beer. This is kind of like a more bittery taste. It's very interesting. I do like it.
Okay. Can I just really quick,
what's it called?
Please continue after, but I really want to interject. as a Canadian that lives maybe 12 hours away from Morconius by drive, I want to judge if he's given you super specific things to like his neighborhood, or if these are truly Canadian iconic things. And I'm just going to vote that the Intergalactic Root Beer, never heard of it. That's a Morconius neighborhood.
Interesting.
Okay.
Good to know. I forgot the drinks, dude. There's a Coca-Cola. Can I go grab that while you describe the next thing?
Yeah, I'll explain what I got, and then Emilio can talk about the stuff that he has. I gave him a lot of the chocolates. There is a Sunripe Fruit to Go.
Yep, Canadian. Okay,
all right, Canadian. It's kind of like a fruit roll-up, I guess, but smaller.
Yeah.
This Maple Leaf Sucker.
Probably Canadian.
Yeah. And then what I was most excited to try, because I've heard so much about them, Old Dutch ketchup chips.
Nice. Okay. Right. Have you tried them? Did you
indeed? I didn't want to eat like a whole bunch of these on a podcast into a mic, but I tried them and they taste like ketchup. it's really weird because I'm not used to ketchup in the chip form like that. So in my mind, they taste like French fries to me because I just associate French fries and ketchup, but they're pretty good.
I could see how your weak American mind cannot comprehend the nebulous form Canadian ketchup chips.
Well, actually, I think it's because it's the exact same three ingredients. It's a potato, some oil, and fucking ketchup, guys.
That might be confusing too. All right, Emilio, and you?
So we're not eating these. I haven't tried any of them, Bobby. You tried them all beforehand. I thought we were going to do this live. We're doing it live. Actually, I had the Mr. Maple candies, I guess. Maple flavored candies. And incredible. More sweet than I like things to be, but I dipped them in my coffee, my bitter coffee, and it made for the perfect snack. I thought these were really good under those circumstances. We also got a bunch of those Sunripes. And yeah, we have this here, just called a different name. I do feel that there's less chemicals in yours. Luna loved them. Thank you very much for that.
Yay.
I haven't tried those ketchup chips. We're going to make a bunch of noise, guys. So if you're going to leave the show, this is the time.
Yeah. We're snacking from now on.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
biting the chips.
Crunch, crunch.
It's like a cold French fry and ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
That is so good.
Yeah.
Wow.
It totally reminds me of French fries.
I would never describe this as French fries in a... I can't even... Okay, whatever. We'll get there.
Wait, what are you saying? Go ahead. Now's the time, because I got to open my
vinegary. They're so vinegary. They're ketchup chips.
Yeah?
I just think you're offending a nation of French fries that don't want to be compared to these.
All right, next thing that I'm having, because nobody cares what Chris is saying. Loads of all dressed flavor. Is that the name of the product? Loads of all dressed flavor.
Yes.
That's what it's called.
Well, you're the one reading it.
Well, it seems like a goddamn description, dude. The rest of it's in French.
You guys don't have... Yeah. Everything is in French and English, but you guys don't have all these chips that are just a really long description of a very specific flavor?
No.
That's like... You walk in a Canadian superstore, that's like half the chip aisle.
Wow. What a weird way of doing it.
It's like a mild barbecue flavor. It's okay.
Yeah, everything I noticed is in French and English, which is always interesting to see. You never see French out here in San Diego. And I didn't realize the word for maple in French, érable. Did not know that. Learned something new.
Bobby, it's been years now. Do you know French now?
No, I haven't been keeping up with that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I could have been playing video games. That's all I'm saying. Kristen, are you... familiar with Macintoshes?
The apples?
No.
Because otherwise, no.
The creamy toffee creme.
Nope. Going to say that's a Warconius neighborhood.
So
I think it's toffee. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I can't.
She's really struggling with that, dude. Don't lose a tooth. There was a Mars bar in the package as well.
Yeah, we have Mars Bar, or we used to have Mars Bar.
Yeah, here. That's what I thought. I was like, I remember these, but I don't see them anymore. Now, I'm not really going down the candy bar aisle in 7-Eleven too much these days, so I don't know. Maybe I just didn't notice them, and they're still
this
there.
This looks like a Mars Bar dark, or dark chocolate. Let me give it a shot here.
But I like this trend of people sending us stuff from...
Oh, I love it.
From... their home country, or their, or even if you're in a state where you have something that's very specific to that, if you want to send us something, we'll eat it. I mean, if it's prepackaged, if it's like home baked cookies or something, I don't know about that. Not trying to get poisoned over here. But yeah, you can find our mailing address. It's in our Discord. You can find the Discord, dlgaming.net. And sorry, guys, we will eat it into the microphone.
Yeah. Cherry blossom. Are you aware of this, Christian?
It's a chocolate with some cherry in the middle. Explosion.
Yeah, apparently. So yep. It looks like a tiny chocolate volcano.
Oh, yeah. I hate these. Yeah, you tell me what you think.
Not a fan.
No, I don't like that. Mm-mm. Sorry, I preempted it. I should have let you have your own experience. It oozes all over you. I think it's gross. Gross candy.
You guys move on to listener question, and I'll move on.
Well, we got to play the sound, right?
Oh, we got to play the sound.
I have a celebration in my hands. What a great name.
Okay. While Emilio chews on that, we're going to play Guess That Sound. Guys, guess what? Emilio wasn't here last week, so we didn't take his money. There's $10 in the pot. You can guess the sound at pixelshitshow@gmail.com. Patrons get two guesses, and this is the mystery sound you're guessing. Now remember, we played a friendly game of Bobby Nick Bingo last episode to figure out if we were going to go with a sound that's from one of Nick's favorite games or one of Bobby's favorite games. So we ended up going with Nick, and that's a hint. So when you send in your guesses, remember, it's one of Nick's favorite games. This week we have a guess from Taranjeet, who says, calling down lightning in Smite. Now you guys have played a lot of Smite. Maybe there's a spell or something. This wasn't very specific. Is that the sound?
Definitely not.
Definitely not, and that's also not one of Nick's favorite games.
Okay, well, unfortunately, that wasn't right. But, like I said at the beginning, email pixelshitshow@gmail.com to guess, and Bobby, Emilio, and Nick will have opportunities to help. And I thought it was a little fun, you know? One of my biggest complaints with our On the Radar section is sometimes I felt that we were adding games that we never really considered to follow up on. They were just kind of lost to the wind. They were just these, you know, temporal things that came in and out of the podcast with no recollection of their involvement. So I'm just going to ask Emilio and Bobby if they can remember three On the Radar games they've put on the podcast this year. We're 6 months in.
No.
Then I'll reveal the hint.
I can't reveal one.
Three each?
Three each, yeah.
Oh, that's a tough one, man.
Yeah.
Let's see, which ones? Because we hardly ever end up playing the ones that we put on the radar. We're just like, ah, this looks cool. And then...
Balatro was on the radar.
Okay.
I ended up playing it.
Let's see, what was announced? And I'm assuming we can't use this week's.
Can we go with two each?
Yeah, you can go with two each. Okay. Why? Why not?
I don't know if I can even do one. At least not on the spot like this.
I'm distracted. It is hard on the spot.
I can do one. This is easy. This is easy. I'll just go scroll up a little bit.
No cheating looking at the revision history there.
Oh, by the way, I never talked about my On the Radar. That's fine. I'll talk about it next week.
Must have been Star Wars game that was announced.
Yeah. Star Wars, the one where she's a smuggler. Definitely.
Out.
Yep.
Out. Something out. Outrider.
No, it's over. You guys, these Emilio and Bobby don't want to help you. That's what it is.
When you're
they don't want to help you.
Dude.
They don't want to help you. They do this podcast. They put so much passion and energy into finding these on the radar games, and they purposefully did not remember them, so you don't get a hint. Remember that, okay? Remember right, how so they wronged you.
Let me catch you guys up. Mars Bar might give Snickers a run for their money. And I put Snickers at the top of all candy bars. Not like it's the best candy, like a candy bar, what essentially is a candy bar. Snickers is the king. And this is incredible. So good. I also had a celebration, more like a funeral. Just not good. I will say the Coffee Crisp, so good. I don't need coffee with it. It doesn't taste like coffee. I think it's kind of like a biscotti that it feels like you're supposed to dip it in coffee. It's good on its own, which is good. And we can continue with the show while I snack on another thing.
Perfect. Cool. Well, no hint this week, folks, but we don't have any subs and donos either. Lots of notes. We do have some listener questions, though, Bobby.
Yep, we've got a few of them. First one from Atom. He says, what games have you swiped in? Also, how much? And he says he spent around $2,000 in MapleStory over the course of 15 years and probably $900 in Lost Ark in the span of 3 months. Ooh, that's a lot. Dude,
so many things are swimming through my hand here. Like, so Smarties are from the same company in two different countries, but completely different company. So, I mean, so flavor or texture and everything. So I wonder if they think the name Smarties is just marketable.
What are Smarties called in the US?
They're called Smarties, but they don't taste like this. Well, they're M&Ms.
Hmm.
But then Smarties here are like a tart, chalky treat.
Yes, Rockets. We call them Rockets. We have M&M's here too. I think I like M&M's more because they're smaller, and I think I like the texture. And Smarties are big.
Hmm.
Do you guys have that where you're not supposed to eat the... You're supposed to save the red Smarties to last, and you're supposed to gift them to someone you don't like? Is that something?
No.
But with M&M's? No?
No.
No, there was a rumor about the red M&M's, like, what, they give you cancer or something like that? Or, I don't know. I remember... something like that.
If I were to say something gets the top spot, I say the ketchup kit chips. I am taking
the ketchup chips. Are they're pretty good.
And it's funny, it would, before eating, I would have put it last place.
Oh, that was the one I was most excited to try. Anyway, how much money have you guys dumped into games?
$14.99 on Supremacy, $19.14 for a premium account for 30 days. They got me.
I've talked about this a bunch of times. I've spent thousands of dollars in Heroes of the Storm. It's all right. I love that game. Whatever. But what's really interesting, a lot of our listeners responded to this and they put how much they were spending. Particularly one of our listeners who had a spreadsheet and had been tracking how much he had spent on World of Warcraft. You never really think about those subscriptions, but they add up over time. And if you tracked it, it's quite a bit of money. What about you, Emilio? What's the game you spent the most on?
Well, at this point in my life, time is more valuable than money. And if I think about how much I put in to EverQuest, I lost about 2 to 3 years of my life. Like
millions of dollars.
16-hour sessions. Like, crazy. So I would say the most total economy dumped into a thing was definitely that. As far as like cash money, it's funny. I'm actually just recently I'm spending more money on Counter-Strike 2, but it's more like a slot machine, you know? I'm just waiting for that one hit to pay for everything that I put in. Whatever. I'm in for like $100. That's not crazy, but I'm trying to think what I've spent the most money on. I don't know. Maybe I remember talking about it. I don't remember the game. So I'm going to say like $300 to $500, but not more than that.
You spent a good amount on Smite. I mean, probably not over $1,000 though.
No, because once they put out that Ultimate God pack, they shot themselves in the foot.
Well, you bought a lot of skins. But also, like, I'm trying to think of subscriptions you've had.
I earned skins, bro.
No. You can't. They don't let you earn some, like, the good skins in that game. But Xbox Game Pass, you probably spent a lot of money on. And I expected a lot of people's answers to be Star Citizen. I think one person had talked about that, but that's the game that I hear about people spending fortunes in.
Because it's just so much at one time, whereas a subscription is, or even Heroes of the Storm skins, like, you played that game over how long?
Oh boy, total years and years and years. I mean, I started in, like, what, 2015? Took a break 2018 to 2021, 22, got back into it for another year or so. Yeah, it's...
I feel like you should have those dates tattooed on you somewhere as a reminder. Yeah, but like $1,200 on one ship in Star Citizen, like an upfront cost. Yeesh, that's a hefty. Do you think they have like payment plans for the... They must. For like the starships?
Christian, just put it on your credit card.
Is these Macintoshes? Is this a young man's game? There's no way I'm going to eat this without losing a tooth.
I've never even heard of the Macintosh, but it sounds Canadian. I don't like to look at you eat it because I'm scared for your teeth. It's like biting a piece of concrete. Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. That'd be cool.
Really, really should check out the YouTube on this one. Oh boy.
Yeah.
All right. Last question from Zap. What's a game that you hated the first time you played, but eventually fell in love with, and what changed?
I wouldn't say I hated it, but you know, everybody knows that if you listen to this, I played The Witcher 3 three times before it hooked, and then it became my favorite game of all time. Like, what a turnaround. Think about that. What clicked? Yeah. I don't know. This is why, like, I really, like, if somebody's like, oh, what movie did you watch? And they're like, I hated it. And you have to take
Infinity War. Yes.
Yeah, you have to take into consideration what they were, how they were feeling that day, like all kinds of stuff. Like, who knows? Maybe I was just in the mood for a long form game where you got to learn new mechanics. Maybe that's what it is. Their inventory system is kind of weird. Everything's kind of weird. You know, it's not an American development company, so things are a little bit different. Maybe that's what setting apart, but it can't be the graphics or the gameplay, because those things are awesome. I don't know, but that's my answer.
For me, it was probably Battlefront 2. And I think I really did dislike this game a whole lot when it first came out. The whole loot box thing, it was just a real big turnoff. Then they got rid of that, and you know, the game was built around that, so it felt really weird playing the game without that. But then I enjoyed it on just kind of this brain dead shoot 'em up level, and I started having a really good time with it, and I played quite a bit of it. I've kind of gone back a little bit, excuse me, chugging root beer here. But I've kind of like cooled on it a little bit. I don't think it's like the best game ever, but I also don't think it was the worst thing ever. I mean, the loot box thing was, but the state it's in right now is, it's kind of fun.
Do you guys agree that it's the best graphics you've ever seen on your computer?
Well, I got a theory about that.
Go ahead.
It is really good, but you're looking at stormtroopers and people in armor and vehicles, so it looks very realistic, especially when you consider, when I was watching the commentary, or watching the prequel trilogy with the commentary tracks, they kept on talking about, like, this was all CG, and especially the clone troopers. They said, we never made a single clone trooper armor, like, person. It was all, every clone trooper was CG. We never even had like a helmet prop or anything like that. Nothing. All CG. And I mean, it looked really good back then. Now it looks a little dated. But I think, like, we all see that as what a clone trooper looks like. So when we see it in the video game, we're like, oh yeah, that looks just like in the movie. So we just like associate it with being lifelike. But yeah, the terrain was great. I mean, it does look fantastic, especially for a game from 2017.
I felt like I was in Star Wars, dude. Like, the sound and everything was just top-notch.
Yeah, yep. The blaster fire, they really nailed the atmosphere.
One last one, I guess, is Speed King Craft Cola. Are you familiar with this, Christian?
No. Speed King Craft Cola?
Yeah, it has a monkey and a speed racer car, but it's red.
No, don't know about that one, but it seems...
This is better than Coca-Cola, I think. Like, yeah, it's better than Coca-Cola.
You know, I did forget to mention...
Craft Cola? That's in Warconius' neighborhood for sure. That's across the street.
I don't have the can next to me, but there was like this energy drink with a beaver on it too. I had a good amount of it, and then I turned it around and saw that it had 57 grams of sugar, and I was like, nope, not finishing that. That's why
I feel so good. Dude. Also have a leaky bottle of maple syrup. I know this stuff is expensive. Oh my gosh, this is a terrible packaging. I mean, it looks beautiful, but it's all falling apart on me. Oh boy.
No. You have to chuck it all right now. You can't recap that. Oh, it's illegal. Shit. Oh, fuck.
Should I lick my microphone screen or...
Dude, that's going to be sticky forever.
Oh my God, that is so good. That's like... That's like a cream liqueur with like caramel. Oh my God.
It's mixed with something. Nice. Okay,
so cool. So maple syrup. No, it's just maple syrup. I'm just not used to it. 100% pure.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh. That is incredible.
100% pure is always worth getting over like...
The Maple Treat is the company, and the maple syrup is what they call their product. You guys market like shit. But anyway. Wow. That is incredible. I'm going to lick this fucking pop screen right now.
I've never hated a game. No, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for this one, other than games that just were like an early access and then got better over time, which is not really in the spirit of the question.
Way to take Bobby way out of that.
And sometimes you just don't have a good answer.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
I blame the question.
No. It's not us, it's them.
Yeah.
All right. What's everyone playing next week?
Senua's Saga, for sure.
Oh, I can't wait to hear more about it. How long is it on?
11 hours. Beat?
11 hours? Okay, so and you'll I'm for like sure finish it.
Somewhere between 5 and 6, yeah.
Hmm. Cool. That's exciting. I'm going to be playing Songs of Conquest, finally, in 1.0.
All right. I don't know what I'm going to be playing. Maybe Animal Well. Maybe... Dark Forces remastered. I don't know.
Dude, you can't get off the Star Wars train? Imagine that's all you could play until you died.
Dude, I mean, forget the backlog, dude. You could just play Star Wars games for the rest of your life.
Star Wars log. Never finish it. The Nemodian log. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, that's fun.
Speaking for Bobby, Christian, Absent, Nick, and myself, Star Wars, Jabba the Hutt, nasty ass titties. Goodbye, everybody. That's an anxious beat from.
Like how they gave him a middle initial.
Yeah. Bodacious. I think that's what.